For socialists as we are, we might seem a bit obsessed with how words are used. Not because we consider ourselves to be the special constables of whatever language we speak, but because we are interacting with fellow members of the working class, engaging with them about ideas and what words represent, defending and advancing our political tradition in order to gain our freedom. So I think it is of some interest that we have had a globally known political individual, celebrity, some would say, stating in bold capital letters on the back of a book he has written that capitalism is dead. Welcome to techno-feudalism. And it is this assertion and its consequences that I want to examine tonight. The book is, of course, Techno-Feudalism, What Killed Capitalism by Yanis Varoufakis. Some background on the author. Yanis Varoufakis was born in Athens, Greece, moved to the UK in 1976 to do a degree, a master's and a PhD in maths and economics. He has lectured in economics in the UK, Australia and the USA. His fame really began when, in 2015, he stood for election to the Greek Parliament and was successful, and was straight away appointed finance minister with the task of renegotiating the Greek state's debt to the European Central Bank, with the hope that the austerity measures that debt had imposed on the Greek state, which had caused a great deal of hardship, unemployment and high emigration, particularly amongst the young, in the wake of the state bailout after the 2008 capitalist crisis. By renegotiating that debt, they wanted those austerity measures to be curtailed. However, that did not become possible, and like many reforms, it was watered down. Varoufakis's bailout bill failed to pass in the Greek Parliament, and he resigned and did not stand for re-election. In March 2018, Varoufakis announced the launch of his own political party, MERA25, they call it, the stated aim of freeing Greece from debt bondage. He stated that he hoped the party would be based on an alliance of people of the left and liberalism, Greens and feminists. The party, whose name stands for European Realistic Disobedience Front, is affiliated to a European-wide political coalition called Democracy in Europe. It's a coalition of left-wing parties that promote strategies like a European Green New Deal and universal basic income. For some reason, they've managed to attract a lot of celebrity members. Brian Eno, Ken Loach, Pamela Anderson, John McDonnell, Noam Chomsky, and Slavoj Žižek. Varoufakis was re-elected in 2019, but lost his seat in 2023. The group Democracy in Europe failed to get any seats in the 2024 European Parliament elections. Varoufakis has also endorsed Jeremy Corbyn, calling him a beacon of hope in the struggle against emergent far-right nationalism, xenophobia and racism in much of the democratic world. But also, when Corbyn was leader of the Labour Party, he called for him to be a bit more ambitious. Varoufakis has been on BBC Question Time 3 times. He has been described as a number one best-selling author and has described himself as a libertarian Marxist, but also an erratic Marxist. So on to the book. The body of the book, Techno-Feudalism, is the author making his case that capitalism has changed into techno-feudalism in the form of a conversation with his father, who had recently died as he was writing it. There's lots of interesting examples, anecdotes, bits of history to support his conclusions, often in the form of him recalling conversations with his father about current events as they happened, all in the context of his father obviously nearing the end of his life. So there's a lot of personal element to it as well. In the back of that book is an appendix called The Political Economy of Techno-Feudalism. And there he lays out his case in a much more direct way. In the main part of the book, there are a lot of sweeping statements without qualification and some abstractions that those of us who know a bit about, have been in the socialist world for a while, would find a bit cringeworthy. And if you watch his interviews on YouTube, it's the same. He does make a lot of big statements, stuff like capitalism is defined by profits and markets, and leaves it at that. But this appendix gave me, showed that he has a deeper understanding than that what he says when he's sort of being interviewed. And this appendix begins: under feudalism, the power of the ruling class grew out of owning land that the majority could not own but were bonded to. Under capitalism, power stemmed from owning capital that the majority did not own but had to work to make a living. Under techno-feudalism, a new ruling class draws power from owning cloud capital whose tentacles entangle everyone. And the word cloud here is throughout this book, and it means data centers, data stored in data centers, data that could be information such as photos and text, but also it's code which enables software to work, such as Zoom that we're using now. It's the code to make it work is as a networked application is stored in the cloud. In one sense, that's necessary for networked applications to work, but of course, under capitalism, that means controlling access to that software, such as via a subscription. And he goes on to define capitalism in more depth, stating that capitalism is defined by commodity production. He talks about value, and he redefines terms that we're familiar with. He talks about experiential value, which at first seems to be synonymous with use value, but it becomes clear that he's not just talking about commodities, he's talking about things that aren't commodities. He starts off talking about drinking water, then goes on to say experiential value is also in looking at a sunset or feeling appreciated. He then talks about exchange and commodity value, which he states is a quantity that goods or services trade for another good or service. And he doesn't mention the role of labour in this at all. And he goes on to look at labour in these same terms. He talks about experiential labour and commodity labour. And he says the exchange value of commodity labour equals the sum of experiential labour that other workers have put into commodities that a worker's wage can buy. Perhaps we can discuss some of these later. And he does also bring in a surplus value, and as is written, it's pretty much the same way that we would understand it, I think. He talks about crisis. He goes on to say that the two main forces that cause capitalism to enter crisis are the falling rate of profit and debt crisis, where financiers go on credit strike. Rent he considers to be a price paid to a buyer above which most closely reflects the exchange value. And he says there are four types: ground rent, financial rent, i.e. interest, monopoly rent, i.e. monopoly prices, and brand rent, i.e. when you get something that's more expensive because it's a highly sought-after brand, Nike trainers or Apple computers, for example. He considers capitalism to be driven by profit and private debt. Private debt, he says, is created by financiers from thin air. So yes, I think he is a currency crank. His note on this simply says that bankers create loans from thin air by an audacious transfer of future values to the present. In the main text, he states that most people think that banks take Jill's savings and lend them to Jack. That's not what banks do. When a bank lends Jack money, it does not go into its vault to check it has enough cash to back the loan. If it believes Jack will return the loan plus the agreed interest, all the bank needs to do is to add Jack's account to the number of dollars it lends him. Nothing more than a typewriter, or today, a few strokes on a keyboard are necessary. So that's his views on capitalism. Then he goes on to define techno-feudalism. And it starts with cloud capital, which he defines as an agglomeration of network machinery, software, AI-driven algorithms and communications hardware, crisscrossing the whole planet and performing a wide variety of tasks, including inciting billions of non-waged people, which he calls cloud serfs, to work for free at replenishing cloud capital's own stock. For example, to upload photos and videos to Instagram or TikTok, or to submit a film, restaurant, or book review. And also goes on to two further ideas that are central to his case: the industrialization of marketing to buy goods on various platforms, eBay, Amazon, the TikTok shop, which he calls cloud fiefdoms. And also the enhanced automation of actual physical production of goods by what he calls cloud proles. And also here, he begins to substitute the word capitalist for the word cloudalist. He states that because you have major cloud-based services, Twitter, Uber, that don't make any profit, but are continuously funded by speculative investments, with a hopefully the view that one day they will create a profit. And he has a theory that the big tech, such as Facebook and Amazon, are the main recipients of central banks printing money, not directly, but because he says that money follows the path of least resistance via banks, financial markets, share buybacks, the value of fictitious assets being increased, which was then used to borrow money at very low interest rates. So, he says, profit via the exploitation of labour has become irrelevant to these companies. I'm fairly sure that profit becoming irrelevant would come as news to the vast majority of capitalists, but we can start breaking this stuff down in a moment. So, as an aside, I did entitle this talk Techno-Feudalism 5 Years On. And that is because 2 years before the publication of Varoufakis' book, a French academic named Cédric Durand published a book entitled Techno-Feudalism, A Critique of the Digital Economy. And it is on quite similar lines to Varoufakis' book. It takes more of a philosophical perspective. He puts the root of the digital economy's changes to capitalism in what he calls the Californian ideology, which is a mixture of Silicon Valley engineers and individualist self-help cults that hang around in California. But if my AI translation software was right, then Durand doesn't go as far as stating that techno-feudalism has replaced capitalism in this book. Varoufakis acknowledges the book in the acknowledgements, but doesn't engage with it in the text anywhere. And also, look, since that publication of that book in 2020, the word techno-feudalism has been cited in quite a few academic social science and philosophy papers along similar lines, along with similar words, re-feudalization. A lot of left literature is talking about re-feudalization of the public space, talking about not just the internet, but public places as well. A further digression, but I think it's quite interesting. The book by Durand locates the first use of the word techno-feudalism in 1990 in a science fiction role-playing game manual. It was from a series called GURPS, the edition called Cyberpunk, where it got one mention in the following text. They said, "As the world becomes tougher, the corporations adapt by becoming tougher themselves, out of necessity. This, we protect our own attitude, is sometimes called techno-feudalism. Like feudalism, it is a reaction to a chaotic environment, a promise of service and loyalty from workers in exchange for a promise of support and protection from the corporation." But that is purely a work of fiction. However, that book has a very interesting story itself, because prior to publication, the editor's home and the publisher's office were simultaneously raided by the US Secret Service, who were under the impression that the book was a computer hacking manual. After a court case, they did get the book they did get the computers that the book was stored on back, but they had been broken, so the book had to be rewritten from memory. And several of the people that were involved in that episode went on to become founder members of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is one of the biggest and longest running digital freedom campaign groups. So back to Varoufakis. We need to get the paperback editions of books that have come out a while after the hardback. They like to stick bits of quotes and select words from reviews on the front cover and on the back. But they omitted the review in the Socialist Standard by Comrade Shannon, which I think is very amiss. We could have had something alongside Irvin Welsh saying the book was amazing, a dark, scary, exciting song for our age. Cory Doctorow interpreted the book as an urgent demand to seize the means of computation. The Financial Times said it was remarkable and made it the best book of the year. The Observer said that this is the world grappling with an entirely new economic system and therefore political power. Could have said Paddy Shannon, several flaws, or Socialist Standard, inaccurate. We could have come across as sort of a miserable curmudgeons, I will admit, and obviously we hadn't taken heed of a teacher's advice that if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But of course, we're going to criticise this because these ideas are worthy of criticism and affect our party's case. So, in a very good review, Paddy said that that tackled the main arguments in the book, the main economic arguments, and that is the central to Varoufakis' argument that using social media is working, creating capital, creating value for free, which of course it isn't. It's not an obligatory social relation like wage labour is for most people. The people that are creating value here are those collecting the data. We know there's a whole industry, the bread and butter of Google and Facebook, and their thousands of workers is collecting data on people using their services and manipulating marketing data and whatnot. And that's at that level. But almost every firm who is selling something on the internet will be using either in-house or third-party search engine optimization software technology and experts to try and boost their sales. This is nothing, of course, nothing at all new. Shopkeepers rearrange their window displays to attract customers and always have done. It doesn't affect the mode of production. And, of course, profit is still the main driver of capitalism. Movement of surplus capital from one section to another has always happened within firms and as we know within industries value is is moved about. And it's really as if the main trends in Varoufakis's thesis are he hasn't really identified the continuation of long-running trends in capitalism. Well, one example is that throughout the book, he seems to be really obsessed with the TV series Mad Men. That must have been his favourite show. Mad Men, if you haven't seen it, is about Madison Avenue, New York-based advertising executives, and it covers a period of, I think, 10 years, 1960 to 1970. And he's mainly talking about how the sort of human aspect of thinking about how the protagonist of the show, Don Draper, dreams up ways of engaging people. But that's something totally different to how marketing is these days. But as I remember in that show, in one of the later episodes or part of the series, they get a massive mainframe computer installed in the office, and I think it's for crunching numbers related to TV adverts or something like that. And all the copywriters are really displeased about it, and one guy has a mental breakdown, and all the sort of executives are laughing that they're going to get all this data and make their industry more scientific. So, with all that, I think if I can just quote Paddy's review, I think it sums up in much better language than I could. He says, "What Varoufakis analyzes is just the ongoing rivalry between owners of different types of capital to get their hands on the share of the surplus value. What cloudalists do is concentrate and generalize the cloud of surplus value. The tendency of capitalist production is to divorce prices from values, ensuring returns go to those who own the most capital. What Varoufakis is analysing is not the downfall of capitalism, but its purest application." And we were not alone in criticising this book. Numerous Trotsky's newspapers, where they've reviewed the book, have criticised it along similar lines. There's a big review in Jacobin magazine, which said it was totally wrong about serfdom. And class struggle is all about class and always will be. So in almost every review I found with that did engage with the text critically, did come up with a similar criticism. So on one level, it didn't get great reviews. But for every review that did disagree with the idea that capitalism was dead and techno-feudalism was not a new form of society, there are probably 10 newspaper reviews, blogs that just repeat the ideas that are in the book. And so whilst it isn't widespread, in social media, I have seen the term techno-feudalism spring up, not so much on the left, but I've seen it in some quite interesting places. I've seen it used in advertising, where there are people are saying, look, we have this society called techno-feudalism now, and you need to escape from it with either investing in some cryptocurrency or using some web browser security bundle or even joining a slightly shady-looking discussion group on Telegram. They're saying that techno-feudalism, reject it and you can escape the system. So in many ways, Varoufakis has come up with some wrong ideas. Techno-feudalism, the term, is describing capitalism, but these ideas still are out there, so we need to engage with them. You might say he's done the opposite of what people say we should do with socialism and rebrand it. He's rebranded the problem rather than the solution in rebranding capitalism. So hopefully tonight we can have a discussion here on whether techno-feudalism is a helpful or worthwhile idea, or we can just say in reply to people that say that socialism needs a rebrand, that it doesn't matter. People are going to support or condemn the idea, whatever word you use for it. Thanks.